you know what that music means. It is time for our monthly get-together with Ask the Doctor with Dr. Keith Verbicki. He is in the studio and a special guest, Deacon Patrick Roach from Sacred Heart Parish here in Norfolk. Gentlemen, good morning this morning in the morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, so we've been talking about this here, that we were going to talk about the importance of faith in healing, Dr. Keith.
Yes, indeed.
You see, this is something very real.
Oh, it really is. You know, if you talk to most physicians, especially those in surgical specialties, we witness miracles on a regular basis. We don't talk about it, but we witness it. And, you know, the spirituality of our bodies is we are made by God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And yet in medicine, in training, we never talk about that. We talk about all the technological, science-based things of our human body, and we're really good at diagnosing things and treating things, but we're not really good at the thing that really, really matters at the end of the day is our spiritual life. So, you know, there was a recent study that amazingly was published in JAMA, one of the bigger medical journals, in 2022, where they asked patients, people, did your doctor ever ask you about your faith? And the answer is no. Well, as a result of that study, they looked into it. What is this important to people? And is it extremely important to people that their doctor realized that faith, spirituality, means the world to the majority of them. And if we as physicians and healthcare clinicians ask our patients, it enhances the trust between us. And it makes sense. So a trust factor, and then the healing of our bodies improves when we rely on our spiritual health. We have to take care of our soul in order for us to have a healthy body. So in that light, I wanted to make sure that we talked about this, because we talk a lot about the physical and mental parts of our body, but have not really talked very much about the spiritual part of it.
Are healthcare folks afraid to ask that question from a legal standpoint?
There isn't any legality to it, but there is a discomfort about bringing it up. And I think that's because we're not trained to do that. Medical schools don't bring that up at all, you know, and that's starting to change a little bit based on some of the research showing how important it is to outcomes. But I think we should not try to evangelize our faith, et cetera. But just a simple question to a person, to a patient, how is your faith life?
Right.
And listen.
Yeah.
We have to listen. And if that, just opening the door to talk to them about that.
And your faith life might be changing, too, when you find yourself all of a sudden with a really bad diagnosis.
Amen.
That changes a lot. So
once people get into the hospitals, then indeed many times they will, because, hey, this is serious. And it happened to me. I got into the hospital. I was very sick. And one of the first people that came to see me was Deacon Roach.
Yes. Deacon Patrick.
Yes.
So let's get to know this guy a little bit. Patrick, you're a deacon in the Catholic Church. What does that mean for the folks who are maybe outside of the Catholic Church?
Well, deacons are members of the clergy. They can't do everything a priest does, but we do a lot of ministry to especially help people that are challenged with maybe some health issues or with working with the poor, things like that. A lot of service ministry.
So that really is what the diaconate is, the service ministry, to take care of those things that sometimes priests are maybe spread a little too thin these days, especially
these days.
That's correct,
yes.
Right. What have you seen in your diaconate years?
Well, in my diaconate, first part of my diaconate, several years, I was a chaplain at Faith Regional.
Yeah.
And so
you worked at Faith Regional many years.
I worked at
Faith
Regional for many years. Yeah, my last few years as a chaplain. And as Dr. Verbicki said, a lot of times when crises happen, you know, in healthcare or in an accident, the spiritual piece doesn't get addressed necessarily. It always gets referred to the chaplain. I think that's changing, especially we've seen that in the last 10 years with physicians coming out where they're more in tune to the spiritual aspect of things. But but as a chaplain, we work with families, help them a lot of times just to cope with the situation they're in, maybe help them deal with the situation. And as Dr. Verbicki said, what we find is a lot of people that have a faith background are able to cope better with a situation, whether it's a crisis or whether it's a terminal illness. Even if there can't be a cure necessarily, their faith background gives them the ability to cope better than somebody that doesn't have that.
Yeah. You have a greater perspective on why we're here, you know, how we got here, all of that. I, you know, in defending pro-life activities, I will often say to folks who I'm maybe evangelizing as far as that goes is, you know, mom, I'll ask people, well, where did you come from? Well, my mom and dad. Okay, well, mom and dad planted the seed, but they didn't make that seed grow any more than the farmer makes the corn seed grow. He puts it in the ground, but then after that, it's hands off, and then the rest of it is to the good Lord. That's the way I look at it.
Amen.
So talk about miracles, Dr. Keith. What if you give us an example?
Okay. Severely septic mother.
Okay.
That has a 99% mortality rate. Responds to therapies that typically don't happen. One example. So just giving therapies, and then the chaplain, the parish, their community support, praying for people. Mm-hmm. We see that change in health, their health care status. I deliver babies for a living. Many times babies are born seriously compromised. The risk, the ability to resuscitate them is very close to 0%. Mm. But yet, when prayer starts in the room and support, the baby turns the corner and actually does well.
Yeah.
Bleeding in surgery that is difficult to stop, et cetera. The ability to see things like this. So most physicians that deal in surgery, they witness things that they can't explain, that other than a supernatural effect that would have improved the result of the outcome of that person.
What do you see in your industry amongst other physicians? Do you have conversations like that? Like, I can't believe what happened there. There was, you know, 99% chance that they weren't going to make it.
And yes.
Next morning, there they are.
Yes. Yeah, we do. And it just, we just say, you know, it's God's miracle that this person survived.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize, though, that physicians are a little bit hesitant to actually talk to them about their spirituality because we're again not trained. And what I have found in patients asking me, doctor, how are you doing with your spiritual life? And that really
it opens the door.
It opens the door, and it's healthy for the doctors too. You know, we're in such a technical specialty of medicine now. Mm-hmm. All the science and all the technologies, etc. Sometimes we can lose track of you know, the real reason we're doing that.
Yeah.
The reason we're practicing medicine, and that brings it to light that, oh yeah, we're all supposed to help each other, you know, get to heaven, and our soul is the most important thing about being human.
Right. And it's also a realization of, again, context of life. You're a tool in the healing. You're not the healer.
Amen.
Yeah. Patrick, we hear a lot about crisis of faith in the country. What do you see in your ministry, especially amongst the young?
I think really amongst the young, the crisis is not as much as people talk about. I think the young people today have a lot more faith than maybe we did growing up. And I think part of that is because of all the things they're faced with in society. They have the ability to kind of adjust or maybe adapt better. And with that, again, with that faith background, I think that's becoming more important, especially to young people with families. We're seeing a lot of increased, you know, participation in church activities, participation in faith-based activities.
What about the legacy of COVID? You know, the kids who were in high school in COVID now, they are all the way through college, probably, if they went on to college, and they're probably a couple of years out of college. They were really robbed of something. And what I sense is that what they had been told and preached to about society and life, they found a lot of it to just be empty. And I think those kids in that generation are maybe now looking for something more eternal. We read about this, and not to play one faith against the other, but there is a boom in entries into the Catholic Church.
That's correct. And it's not just the Catholic Church. There's a boom of entries in a lot of Christian churches. And I think your question about COVID, you know, we talk about all the bad things that came out of COVID, but I think there are some good things that came out of COVID. And I think when COVID shut everything down, it provided an opportunity for families to talk to each other again. And if you remember during COVID, you would see people out in the yard, you know, playing games and playing with their families, where you don't see that most days because everybody's busy or going different directions.
Or looking at their phone.
That's a good thing that came out of COVID. And the other thing that came out of COVID, I think that's beneficial, and it goes direct to your question about this boom in church attendance, is people realize that there's more important things to life than just maybe work or technology or just the day-to-day things that we participate in.
I think an American Pope has had a great deal to do with that. And like I say, not just the Catholic Church, but I think just church in general. People are a little bit more excited about it now.
I agree. And I think he's a lot more savvy about some of the things we see today, social media and some of the technology things. He'll be coming out with a encyclical shortly on the dangers and ability of AI and how we should use it properly.
So I'm about out of time here, but explain what an encyclical is.
Encyclical is just a letter from the Pope, usually dealing with something that's going on in society and just some guidance on maybe how we should treat these things and how to use these things as they come our way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Keith, anything to add?
I just encourage everyone to talk about their faith with each other, with their clinicians, and because at the end of the day, that's what's the most important thing is our faith life.
Build a faith life long before you ever really need it, right?
Amen.
Yeah, and it'll give you a new perspective on life, that's for sure. Deacon, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
This was enlightening, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
But these are always enlightening, and of course, we'll put this up on the podcast page a little bit later on. And if you want to catch up on all the programs going back a couple of years, you can do that. Go to WJG.com, click on podcast, and then click on Ask the Doctor. 7:51, state tracks underway today. Pat is on the other side with a look at sports before we wrap things up at 8.
When you're not feeling your best, you need care that fits your schedule. At Midwest.